bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu.
You've made it to the stream. You found us. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and we are joined in the studio by the founder of MASC, Mothers Against Senseless Killings. Her name is Tamara Manassa. Welcome back, Tamara.
Hey, Wendy. Hey, Bill.
Good to see you.
Hey,
thank
Chicago.
You so much for coming up.
Were your ears burning? Because Friday night we were going to the Blackhawks game, me and my family, and we were driving around Costner and Ogden, and some of the areas, some of the houses there are not in really great shape. My 14-year-old was asking about, why is it different here? You know, we're suburban white people, and they didn't see much of that. And I said, things are very different and on the south side and the west side. And I said, there's a woman who is trying to change that. Her name is Tamara Manassa. I was totally talking about you Friday, and now you're here.
My ears were burning. They were. Thank you so much. Thanks for keeping me in mind. Thank you.
Well, you're trying to make a difference. And as I was explaining to my 14-year-old, and, you know, me as an adult, I don't understand it. So how can he? It's just there's no hope. There's no opportunity. My kids aren't afraid walking to school. They're not afraid sitting on their front porch. And kids in some other areas are afraid of all that.
Yeah.
And they're not living.
Yeah. No, you can't live in a place where you expect to die at any moment. You can't really live like that. You're only waiting to die. And who, like, really, who can live that way?
Yeah, you can't.
That's not life. That's not life.
You've told Wendy and myself the story in the past, but for people who are new to you and what your message is, how did MASC get started, Tamara? What was the impetus behind this?
Okay, quickly.
Yeah.
It got started. There was a woman that was murdered on a corner on 75th and actually 74th and Stewart. We were about the same age, so I kind of, you know, saw parallels between our lives. But she was murdered breaking up a fight. And so me and a few of my friends decided that we were going to go sit out on that corner, because if there would be retaliation anywhere, it would be for something like that. And so we figured that if we could keep retaliation from happening because of that murder, then, you know, we could possibly stop other retaliations and other violent acts. And that was 2 years ago, going on three. This will be our third year on the block. And since then, there's been nothing.
You scared the first time you were sitting out there? Be honest.
No, I'm crazy.
You are crazy.
I'm crazy.
How
no,
could you
I
not
was,
be scared?
I was not scared. Not at all. No, I mean, those are my people. That's my neighborhood. Those are my people. I grew up on the northern end of Inglewood. And I mean, it was like going home. I knew those people. That's my family. And I mean, you can't be scared to be around your family. And I think that's what so many of us feel right now. We fear each other more than we love each other. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem. That's something that we really have to get past. And honestly, I felt like this is what God wanted me to do, something like this. And so I didn't feel like God would lead me to a corner to have me be killed in the place that he led me to. That's just not how that works.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always good when I'm there. I mean, there have been times when I've sat on a corner and painted my toenails. Like, it's like nothing to me. Like, it's being in my living room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On your own back porch.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
So you started this program that during the summer, when school wasn't in session, you would have kind of like these big old barbecues and stuff.
Every day, like a block party. Yeah. Every day. Like a barbecue every day. We cook dinner every single day. We have dinner with the neighborhood every day. And we kind of created a outdoor community center. And so it started as dinner, but now, I mean, there are games on the corner. It's karaoke. It's yoga. It's, you know, dance classes. It's all sorts of stuff. It's just, that's what we do there, though. That's what we do. It's a place where people can come and get whatever, if it's their bellies that need to be fed or if their souls that need to be fed, they can get it there.
Where does this money come from to fund this?
The people.
Yeah.
The people. The government gives us nothing.
Yeah.
The people do this. The people, that's because so many people want to see change and so many people want to know, how can I help? What can I do? And we make it as easy as possible to do that. So people will come by the block and drop off a case of water.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come drop off hot dogs. They'll send money. People do that. We don't ask for government grants because the people, we are beholden to the people, not to the government. So That's what this is. That's who makes sure. They make sure that every night we have food on the grill, that kids who need it have clothes on their back. I mean, that's the power of the people. That's what I've learned in the past couple of years. The people are very powerful.
You've had interesting opposition, sometimes from politicians, sometimes from the police.
Yeah.
When you look at that from a distance, why would there be opposition from politicians or the police with what you're doing?
You know, I think that we need to ask the politicians and the police that question, because I really don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because we are managing to accomplish things that other people have not been able to accomplish. And we're willing to do things that other people aren't willing to do. I mean, like, I give out 1,000 hugs a day. I don't know if a cop is willing to get out of his car and hug somebody. I honestly don't know that. And that's sad that I don't know that. Does having a gun take away all of your empathy? Does it take away your ability to be compassionate? Does it take away your ability to be human? Like, I don't know, because I don't carry a gun or I don't wear a bulletproof vest. So I don't know. But I'm not certain what it is. I think it's something so different from what we've normally seen that it makes a lot of people feel threatened. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do with it. And if they can't join in, then they kind of just, I guess, don't want it to happen.
I don't know what to do with it. What is there to do with it? You be thankful that the violence has dropped significantly in those 3 years you've been out there, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
But then your success would make a politician who governs that district look good, or a policeman who's in charge of that district look good, because you say, look, there's less crime than there was before you guys came.
Let's do that in various neighborhoods and on many blocks.
Not if the politician or the police in that district aren't being helpful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If they aren't helping, then it does, because we're there every day.
Right.
And so if the police aren't out there throwing around a football with kids or helping flip burgers on the grill, or, you know, whoever the elected official that's in charge of that area isn't showing up saying, hey, what do you need? How can I help you? People notice that.
Mm-hmm.
They know who they don't see out there. They know who doesn't come out.
Mm-hmm.
They know. We get soccer moms and football dads and everything from the North Shore, from the South Suburbs, from everywhere, all around the Chicagoland area. And they all come to a corner on 75th and Stewart in Inglewood to teach a kid how to throw a tight spiral,
mm-hmm.
to do face painting.
By the way,
Jay
Cutler could have used that class when he was the quarterback of the Bears. He
wasn't
stop by.
He wasn't welcome.
Nobody needed to know how to throw a tight spiral more than him.
But they come down to do this. And the kids know. They see all of these people that they didn't used to see in their community before.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the kids would tell me the only time we see white people is at school or their teachers or cops. That's it. But now that's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now so many different people come into the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we belong here. Everybody belongs here. We belong together. That's what Chicago is missing. It's the togetherness.
Good.
It's the fact that we're so separated that creates so many of our problems, because I've noticed, I mean, I've recognized, I've seen it with my own two eyes in the past 2 years. Whenever you mix all kind of people together, bad stuff just doesn't happen as
right.
much.
Well, there's a sense of community. There's a sense of belonging together.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, being a white suburban person and family, we have different police officers. And trust me, there are some jerky mm-hmm. cops in the suburbs as mm-hmm. well. Have you tried to invite even one police officer to come flip a burger, as you say, or to come throw?
Because police officers are good, good, good people. You know what? I'd even go as far as to say most of them are.
Yeah.
They are. You've
had some involvement.
Yeah,
There have been police who have come out. There are
a couple who have come out and tried to, you know, engage with us, but they aren't necessarily in the district that we're in. And so they'll cross district lines to come and say, hey, you know, I like what you're doing.
Good.
I like what you're doing. This is good what you're doing. I saw it on television and I came and bought a case of water for you. And it moves you when that happens. It does.
Yeah.
But right quick, as soon as they get in their cruiser and pull off, you have to snap back to reality. And you have to realize that you're in a place where most of them are not like that.
But the police officers that patrol that community and that block, wouldn't it mean more if they partook in this?
It would absolutely mean more, but that's not going to happen.
I just don't. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't understand it.
It's probably because I'm talking about it right now on the radio. It's probably because I'm very vocal about it. I mean, like, I don't feel the need. I think that we need to have an honest discussion about violence now and the root causes of it and what keeps it going, what fuels that fire. And I think the more that we sugarcoat things and the more that we aren't honest and open about what's really going on, it's going to keep happening. And so, no, I think that me being a person who sits on a street corner every single day in the summer during the most dangerous time in the city of Chicago, every single day, I think that I do have the right to be an authority on what could be the problem and what could be the solution. I mean, I've seen it. I know what's going on. And I think that if we did have more of an interaction between law enforcement and the community and positive interactions, things would change. But we just don't. We don't.
Didn't this all kind of start with a hug where you just wanted to give hugs as needed to show that we're all human beings and we all need to be loved? Isn't that kind of how this started?
That's what this is. It's free hugs. That was our hashtag. That's our slogan, free hugs. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets a hug because sometimes that fixes everything.
Mm-hmm.
That can fix so much. It sometimes it's all people need, but we aren't necessarily touchy-feely society.
We're not. And less so now than we used to be.
Yeah.
Don't touch me.
It's really crazy. That's why this spring break, what we're doing is instead of a sit-in, we're doing the Great Mask Spring Break Sit-Out.
All right, explain that.
Instead of sitting in to protest something, we're sitting out to protest violence. And sitting out means get in your lawn chair, go sit in front of your house and drink a cup of coffee. Meet your neighbors. That's all. We don't necessarily need people to come to our block anymore. This is our block actually trying to help the rest of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And this is us from the block, from a block in Inglewood saying, hey, we want to help fix this problem. We've solved it in our area. Now we want to help you fix it in your area. We want to help you fix it in South Shore. We want to help you fix it in Roseland and in Lawndale. We want to help you fix it on the North Side. We want to help you fix it. And it's not just stopping violence. It's building community, because where community exists, violence can't.
Right.
It just can't.
Right.
And so this is as simple, honestly, as getting in your lawn chair and going to sit on your porch or going to sit in front of your house and saying, hey, neighbor, mm-hmm. I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm just know the people that you live around, and that could really improve our city dramatically, dramatically.
It sounds so simple, but imagine if this happened on many, many blocks throughout this spring break time, which is going on this week. Imagine how positive a change
this
could
be. That's what we're hoping. We have on our Facebook page, we want you to upload pictures of you sitting out on your front porch or sitting out in front of your house. You know, mm-hmm. we want this to be a Chicago thing. We want Chicago to lead this revolution, to lead this, to take us back to a place when America was great, when people sat on the front porch, mm-hmm. when you knew your neighbors, when your neighbors knew you, when you knew your neighbors' kids, and your neighbors' kids knew you. That's where we want to go. That's where we want to go. That's when I think that America was the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good goal to have. It really is.
Chicago can lead that. And I think that we should. I think we shouldn't lead. We shouldn't lead in murders.
No,
we don't. And that's the story that the media across the country, you know, that's the narrative that people have about Chicago right now. But that's not the truth. But we can lead a revolution, and we can do something very cool. We can become a city of communities again.
Yeah,
we can do that. We just have to want to do it. That's it. So what better time to start this? Spring break. The kids are out.
Here, this is the best part of this, is the timing of this, because we keep in the news, we keep hearing there were so many murders last week, and it's expected to get worse because as the weather gets warmer.
Exactly.
So instead of being fearful of the weather getting warmer, own it the way you're saying.
Yeah, we're coming out the house.
Yeah.
I want to sit out on a corner.
Mm-hmm.
I want to sit outside my house in a lawn chair. Mm-hmm. I want to get some sun. I want to see some people.
Right.
Maybe play some cards with my neighbors in front of my house. I want to do that. That was the world that my parents were raised in.
Yeah.
That's the world that my grandparents were raised in. That's the world that I want my children to grow up in. But unfortunately, it's not until now. We can change it now. now. We can change everything right now because we know how to do it now. For 2 years, I've been sitting on a corner. I mean, I've been like a crash test dummy out there.
Yeah.
So I've done the research. You're not going to die sitting in front of your house. Just you're going to make your neighborhood better. That's what you're going to do.
Less people are going to die, too, if you're out
far
there.
Far less.
Getbehindthemask.org is the website. You have a Facebook page. What is that?
Mothers Against Senseless Killings.
Okay, Mask, Mothers Against Senseless Killings. We don't have a lot of time, but we did want to touch on something. A lot of the problems is that the kids aren't in school in the summer with nothing to do. They're outside. Violence happens. You've started a community center. We don't have a lot of time, but tell us about that.
Oh, we actually are breaking ground for our play lot on Monday. And we have gotten so many donations. The people, once again, have done this. We've been working very closely with Cook County and Commissioner Bridget Gaynor and Rob Rose over at the Cook County Land Bank. And some developers and the community has really come out to make this happen. So we're getting a play lot this summer where we can have our barbecues and we can have our yoga and we can now... It's not now we can afford to feed and to actually have enough space for hundreds of kids, not just 100, not just 50, but we can do so much more because we have so much more to work with now. And I'm so excited about all of the prospects, all the potential. So excited about it.
You should be excited, but there is a downside to this story. This land was owned, co-owned by the county and the city, and the county donated their half. But the city did not for some reason.
Is there
a reason that we know of that the city wouldn't play along with this?
Oh, Bill, why would you ask me that?
It's terrible. Why wouldn't they?
You know, I suggest that the best thing that I can say with that is call the mayor's office and ask.
Yeah.
Call the mayor's office. I don't know. I mean, like, I really honestly don't have an answer for that. We could never come to, I don't know. I don't know where.
What are they going to do with the land?
I don't know. I know what we're going to do with our land.
Yeah.
I know what we're going to do with our land. I'm not sure what they're going to do with their vacant lot, but I know what I'm going to do with our play lot. So I don't know. I don't. Maybe they have plans for it. Maybe they don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just really thankful for what we've gotten. I wish we could have gotten more.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, I'm happy with what we've gotten, what we have right now. It's better than what we have had for the past 2 years.
How much bigger is this than the space you've been dealing with before?
At least 5 times bigger.
That's maybe great. When this is all developed and your play lot happens and it's a fully functioning thing, you're breaking ground. You just did Monday, you said?
Yeah.
Or you will be?
And on Monday, we're doing a football camp with the first female NFL football coach.
Excellent.
She's going to be coming to do camp on the corner for our kids because we have the space to do it now. So there are big things happening. We are doing big things on that one little plot of land. And I'm so excited about it because so many lives are being changed there. And I'm so excited to be a part of it.
You are one amazing woman. You really are.
Thank you.
You have started a movement, and I hope it continues. Tamar Manassa, the founder of MASK, Mothers Against Senseless Killings. You can go to their Facebook page, Mothers Against Senseless Killings, on Facebook. You can also go to their website, getbehindthemask.org. You always take donations. Any more information can be found there.
Right. And remember, Chicago, sharing is caring. Get in those chairs. Get in those chairs.
Sharing is caring.
Thank you for doing this. You're really making a difference. We appreciate
you,
it.
Thank you, Bill.
Right.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Take a quick break and then find out what Judy has in the news. Stay where you are, Bill and Wendy, WGN.